If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you have the mindset of an entrepreneur, even if you haven't yet started a business. The problem with being an entrepreneur is that you have to wear so many hats. It's not just about creating great products or services. Finding the right tool that not only helps you out but simplifies everything can be a real game changer. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify can help you build a beautiful online store to match your brand's unique style. Shopify can also accelerate your content creation. They're packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Mental Chemistry by Charles F. Hanel, published in 1922. Destiny is determined for nations and for individuals by factors and forces that are really fundamental, such as our attitude toward one another. Ideals and motives are more potent than events in shaping history. What people think about the abiding concerns of life means more than any contemporary agitation or upheaval. Everything which we hold in our consciousness for any length of time becomes impressed upon our subconscious, and so becomes a pattern which the creative energy will wave into our life and environment. This is the secret of the power of prayer. We know that the universe is governed by law, that for every effect there must be a cause, and that the same cause, under the same conditions, will invariably produce the same effect. Consequently, if prayer has ever been answered, it will always be answered, if the proper conditions are complied with. This must necessarily be true, otherwise the universe would be a chaos instead of a cosmos. The answer to prayer is therefore subject to law, and this law is definite, exact, and scientific, just as are the laws governing gravitation and electricity. An understanding of this law takes the foundation of religion out of the realm of superstition and credulity and places it upon the firm rock of scientific understanding. The value of prayer depends upon the law of spiritual activity. Spirit is the creative principle of the universe and is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Thinking is a spiritual activity and consists of the reaction of the individual against the universal mind. I think, therefore I am. When I cease to think, I cease to exist. Thinking is the only activity which spirit possesses. Spirit is creative. Thinking, therefore, is a creative process. But as the larger part of our thinking processes are subjective rather than objective, most of our creative work is carried on subjectively. But because this work is spiritual work, it is none the less real, for we know that all the great eternal forces of nature are invisible rather than visible, spiritual rather than material, subjective rather than objective. Thinking is a creative process, but most of us are creating destructive conditions. We are thinking death rather than life. We are thinking lack rather than abundance. We are thinking disease rather than health. We are thinking with discord rather than harmony. And our experiences and the experiences of our loved ones eventually reflect the attitude of mind which we habitually entertain. For let it be known that if we can pray for those we love, we can also injure them by entertaining and harboring destructive thoughts concerning them. We are free moral agents and may freely choose what we think, but the result of our thought is governed by an immutable law, one that is summed up in the biblical statement, "Whatsoever you soweth, that shall also you reap." Prayer is thought in the form of a petition, and an affirmation is a statement of truth. And when reinforced by faith, another powerful form of thought, they become invincible, because, quote, "faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." This substance is spiritual substance, which contains within itself the Creator and the created, the germ, the Elohim, that which enters in, goes forth and becomes one with its object. But prayers and affirmations are not the only forms of creative thought. The architect who plans to erect a wonderful building seeks the quiet of the studio, calls on the imagination for new features embodying additional comforts or utilities, and is seldom disappointed in the results. The engineer who designs to bridge a chasm or river visualizes the entire structure before making any attempt to embody it in form, this visualization being the mental image that predetermines the character of the structure which will eventually take form in the objective world. The inventor who struggles to create a new product in the service of humanity concentrates their attention on the problem and entertains a myriad of potential solutions before finding the one that will work best. Imagination, visualization, concentration are all spiritual faculties and are all creative, because spirit is the one creative principle of the universe. And the person who has found the secret of the creative power of thought has found the secret of the ages. The law, stated in scientific terms, is that thought will correlate with its object. But unfortunately, the large majority are allowing their thoughts to dwell upon lack, limitation, poverty, and every other form of destructive thought. As this law is no respecter of persons, their things become objectified in their environment. Finally, there is love, which is also a form of thought. Love is nothing material, and yet no one will deny that it is something very real. St. John tells us that God is love, and St. Paul tells us that in God we live and move and have our being, that is, in love. Some will say that if God is love and omnipotent and omnipresent, how can he be responsible for destructive conditions? He wouldn't bring about disaster, want, disease, and death, would he? Certainly not. But we can bring these things upon ourselves by a non-compliance with the spiritual laws. If we do not know that thought is creative, we may entertain thoughts of disharmony, lack, and disease, which will eventually result in the condition of which these thoughts are the seed forms. But by an understanding of the law, we can potentially reverse the process and thereby bring about a different result. Good and evil are thus but relative terms, indicating the result of our thoughts and actions. If we entertain constructive thoughts only, the result will benefit ourselves or others. This benefit we call good. If, on the other hand, we entertain destructive thoughts, this will result in disharmony for ourselves and others. This disharmony we call evil, but the power is the same in either event. There is but one source of power, and we can use the power for good or for evil, just as we can make use of electricity for light, heat, or power by an understanding of the laws governing electricity. But if we are careless or ignorant of the laws governing electricity, the results may be disastrous. The power is not good in one case and evil in the other. The good or evil depends upon our understanding of the law. Many will ask, how does this thought agree with Scripture? Well, let us remember Jesus' conversation with the lawyer, who asked, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, where is this God which the lawyer is told to love? Well, when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he has them begin with the statement, Our Father who art in heaven. But where is heaven? According to Jesus, it is not here or there, but that the kingdom of heaven is within you. In other words, God lives in you. The Old Testament, of course, has a lot to say concerning the God of Jacob and of Moses, but this conception of an anthropomorphic God is from an early people grappling to understand the world around them. In the New Testament, all of this is reversed. The doctrine of the immanence of God is taught. An objective God is converted into a subjective God. We are told that, quote, In him we live and move and have our being, that the kingdom of heaven is within you, and are led to infer that God is always in the kingdom, that is, within you. Instead of using the Old Testament's deductive method of thinking, Jesus uses the inductive. He accepted no authority, no dogma, no creed. Instead, by reasoning from the seen to the unseen, the visible to the invisible, from things temporal to things eternal, he reversed the process completely. And as the idea of an immanent God took hold of the public, then gradually came an awakening toward genuine spirituality and an understanding of the God within. If this inductive method of reasoning were followed by our religious leaders, we would find all religions cooperating for the purpose of bringing about peace on earth and goodwill toward all. We would find every school of theology cooperating with every other school for the purpose of spreading the glad tidings of great joy, so that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and know that this abundant life may be had by looking within instead of without. Objective peace is the result of subjective peace. Harmony without is the natural consequence which follows harmony within. Our character is the evidence of the value of our religion, for by their fruits shall they be known. Such a religion satisfies the brain, as well as the heart. Religion is to love justice, to long for the right, to love mercy, to forget wrongs and remember benefits, to love the truth, to be sincere, to love liberty, to cultivate the mind, to be familiar with the mighty thoughts that genius has expressed, the noble deeds of all the world, to cultivate courage and cheerfulness. It is also to make others happy, to receive new truths with gladness, to cultivate hope, to see the calm beyond the storm, the dawn beyond the night. It is the religion of reason, and not in any way opposed to science.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.